Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It was a pretty normal day at the mall. I just finished a meal at the food court that was a little underwhelming, and was aimlessly wandering the place, trying to decide what store to peruse next. Unsure, I thought I'd wash down that dry sandwich I just had with a soda. But, as I stood at the vending machine, going back and forth in my head over what exactly it was I wanted to drink, I noticed it. A small, almost imperceptible gap behind the machine. I only noticed it because the gap between the vending machine and the wall was itself so unnaturally large. It almost looked like a hallway going deep into the heart of the mall. I'd never seen anything like it in my life. Well, I was bored and looking for something to do, so I waited until no one was looking this way, and then I squeezed myself behind the machine and turned the corner, stepping into the corridor. The passage was narrow, both of my shoulders just barely scraping by, and was very dimly lit. In fact, it seemed a little odd to me that there was lighting here in the first place. Some dim, flickering office building type light fixtures dangling above. The walls were lined with peeling off white paint, and old posters that seemed to date back decades. I stopped and admired a couple as I was walking along. One said, "Repent for the sins, eat the vitamins." Kind of a forced catchphrase, I thought, but if it ever helped anyone get their vitamins in, well, I kept on walking. It stretched on far longer than I anticipated, curving slightly as if winding around an unseen center. The deeper I went, the thicker the atmosphere became, stale and thick with the scent of dust and something else, something faintly metallic. Finally, the tiny corridor opened into a vast expanse of space that, quite frankly, defied logic. It looked like an unoccupied office space, but unlike any I'd ever seen before. The fluorescent lights buzzed overhead, their relentless glow illuminating row upon row of empty desks and chairs. The space was devoid of life, of personal touches of any kind. It was like the desks and chairs had been copied and pasted all throughout my visual field. It was like I'd stepped into a photograph of a creepy old office from the 1940s or something, frozen in time and dead. After soaking in the place for a few moments, I called out, "Hello?" and listened as my voice echoed back to me, multiplying until it finally fizzled out. It was then I realized where I was, what had happened here. Somehow, I had stumbled into the back rooms, those mythical liminal spaces discussed across internet forums and social media, supposed thresholds between our world and another far stranger one. I remember watching some CGI animated videos that were supposedly depicting back room areas on YouTube that were pretty cool. But honestly, the place I found myself in now was much less interesting and much more eerie than some of the stunning works of art I'd seen online. As panic began to set in, I spun around, about to sprint my way back out of this place and to the vending machine without another second's thought. But the corridor, the hallway out of here I'd seen, was gone. Just a flat, empty wall behind me. Not even a trace that anything was ever there to begin with. I was trapped. Frozen for a moment, I suddenly realized I had my phone with me. I fished it out of my pocket and unlocked the screen. Crap. Not only did my battery only have about 20%, but there was no service. I tried to make a call anyway, hoping maybe I'd be able to connect to something. But it wasn't meant to be. I just couldn't believe it. I slipped the useless brick of a phone back into my pocket, and after standing around for probably way too long, I took the only option I seemed to have and began walking straight ahead, deep into the maze. 4 hours that stretched into what I could only imagine were days, I wandered essentially aimlessly through the fluorescent labyrinth. The sheer vastness of this place was mind-numbing, with corridor after corridor unfolding before me, each one indistinguishable from the last. The relentless hum of the overhead lights became a constant companion, their bright, unforgiving glow casting long, eerie shadows that seemed to flicker and dance just at the edges of my vision. After my phone died, I was left without any hope of knowing what time it was, whether it was day or night, or even how many days had passed. As I trudged through this endless maze, the surreal quality of my surroundings began to wear down my resolve. The monotony of this landscape, rows upon rows of abandoned office spaces to both my sides, each filled with dust-covered desks and empty chairs, began to feel increasingly unbearable. Here and there, however, I would come across a room that seemed to deviate from the pattern slightly, its contents scattered, as if its occupants had fled in haste, leaving behind a snapshot of a day like any other, frozen in time. In one such room, I found a piece of paper on the desk. Walking over, I found a handwritten list. It read, 1. Clear out desk. 2. Wash your ears. 3. Take your vitamins. For some reason, shivers ran up and down my spine as I read. I set the page back down in the desk and continued walking down the endless halls. Desperation had more than set in. The thought that I might never find my way out, that I could become another disappearance case, wandering these liminal spaces indefinitely, was a thought too terrifying to entertain. Yet, I knew it was true. A specter of despair in a place that seemed designed to erode hope and defiance in equal measure. Time went on. By what I estimated to be somewhere around the 6th day, exhaustion and despair brought me to my knees. I collapsed. I remember lying on the carpeted floor, the texture of the short trim carpet rough against my cheek, whispering pleas into this empty labyrinth. Just get me out, just get me out. For the love of God, get me out of here. I begged over and over again, until my voice was nothing more than a raspy whisper. It was then, as my eyes winced open in my darkest moment yet, that I saw it. A dim red glow emanating from down one of the countless identical halls before me. I blinked, trying to make sure I wasn't just seeing things. No, it was really there, clear as day, completely stood out from the blinding white and grays that surrounded me. Driven by a mix of hope and sheer desperation, I found the energy to stand and stumble towards the light. This glow led me to a small office, similar in a way to the seemingly abandoned rooms I'd stumbled upon in my desolation, except for the fact this one was not abandoned. A man sat there, typing away at an old-fashioned typewriter, seemingly oblivious to the surreal nature of our surroundings. The office was oddly normal-looking, the more my eyes soaked it in, and his presence was both comforting and utterly bizarre. He seemed to be a typical, ordinary man, middle-aged, bald, stocky, glasses, typing away in the back rooms, as if it were the most natural thing in the world. I was so shocked looking at this scene that I found myself just standing there with my mouth hung wide open. When he finally locked eyes with me, there was only a quick nod of acknowledgement, his demeanor oddly nonchalant, as if my sudden appearance in his office was an expected, even mundane, event in his day. He kept on typing away. His desk was cluttered with papers, along with the old, dust-covered typewriter that clacked away under his fingertips. He was really engrossed in whatever he was typing. I took a step or two towards his desk. I began to talk, trying to tell him how thankful I was to have found someone, and that I was in deep need of help, but he quickly raised a hand and spoke a stern, "Shh, just a minute," cutting me off. I shut my mouth and stood there, still just as confused, as he typed away for what seemed like an eternity. At some point, he nodded down towards a little office chair, and I sat down. As I looked around the office, I realized it looked very, very lived in. There were family photos on the desk, a coffee mug with a faded logo, and bookshelves behind him crammed with an eclectic mix of books and sports memorabilia. It felt oddly homey, a stark contrast to the sterile, unending corridors just outside the doorway. Suddenly, he stopped typing and looked me straight in the eye. Yeah, I know, he started, as he swiveled around in his chair and started looking through his bookshelf. I got your petition last night and have been working on nothing else since. I've been typing up the proper paperwork all night for you, all right? So you just relax yourself and try not to distract me if you can. Your processing is almost finished. I opened my mouth to reply, but I couldn't find a word to speak. My mind ran past the past several days, but I could only pull up the endless, sprawling, labyrinthine trap I'd found myself in. I most certainly didn't submit any petition. Who in the world would I have sent a petition to, anyways? None of this made a lick of sense. The man's words were as perplexing as the literal existence of the back rooms themselves. Eventually, he grabbed a leather-bound book off the shelf and swung back around, slamming it atop his desk. He flipped it open to reveal it wasn't actually to be read, but was a cleverly disguised container. In the cavity cut deep into the pages of the inside of this book, the man pulled out a bulky, old cell phone, an old model from the early 2000s. He pulled it out and yanked on the antenna until it was well over 3 foot long, towering so high it almost touched the ceiling. I almost laughed at the sight of the thing. It looked so ridiculous. I don't think I had ever seen, even on one of those old ones, a cell phone antenna that huge. Well, he punched a number into the pad and held it to his ears. I could barely hear the sound of ringing from the other end, and then he spoke.
Hello?
Yeah, it's Roger.
Yeah, well, another one fell in.
Again,
yep.
Yeah, I know.
I know, he's sitting right here.
Well, I don't think he's going anywhere.
Huh? How soon?
Ah, yes, that'd be great. Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
He clicked a button and collapsed the antenna, surprisingly fast. He then turned his attention back to me with a smile that didn't quite reach his eyes.
All right, good news. Someone will be here to pick you up in just a few moments, so you just sit tight, relax, and I bet you're probably a bit thirsty, aren't you?
Haven't had anything to drink in quite a while, he asked, his tone shifting to something softer, almost compassionate. At the exact moment I began to nod a yes, a glass filled with what appeared to be orange juice seemed to appear in his hand, and he set it down on the desk. Then, right next to the glass, he placed a small pill-like object.
And here's a little vitamin C pill to kickstart the system, he said with a wink.
I initially picked it up, but as I held it in my hand, a sudden rush of adrenaline shot through my system. I felt uneasy about this.
Well, come on, you gotta take the vitamin if you want to have the strength to leave, he said, a little pushy.
His insistence that I take this vitamin felt a little disturbing.
I think there's probably a decent amount of vitamin C in this orange juice, I began, lifting the cup to my lips.
I don't think I need the vitamin, but thanks anyway. His half-smile turned to a stern grimace. He looked to his desk and then back up to me.
All right, I'll just tell you. If you don't take that vitamin, you are not going to be leaving this place. And I know you want to leave this place. So, will you please, for your own good now, take the vitamin C.
I felt a sharp pain in my chest, an inability to digest his words. Was he being serious? there was something seriously wrong with all this, I knew. And for a moment, I was about to throw the drink in his face and run out of there as fast as I could. But then I felt my aching muscles, and the breath I could hardly keep moving through me. I was in no physical shape to fight this. And plus, this guy was really my only hope. I knew that if I ditched him and ran out of here, I would most likely be running straight into the arms of death. I had no choice. Reluctantly, I took the vitamin. He seemed pleased, a smile immediately returning to his lips, and said, Very good. You just relax now, as I finish up the last little piece of your paperwork. You'll be out of here very soon now, very soon, as far as you're concerned. I just nodded, as a wave of lethargy seemed to permeate through my limbs. I remember leaning down and back into the chair, which was suddenly feeling oddly comfy to me, as I let my eyes relax and close. The details of what followed are quite hazy, a blur of half dreams and dark emptiness that seemed to take over. I seemed to lose consciousness. But when I awoke, I found myself lying on a sidewalk. It was the middle of the night, and as I sat up, looking around trying to make out where in the world I was, I found I was just outside the mall, the sounds of the city night bustling around me. Despite the fact that a headache pounded through me worse than ever before, and despite feeling like I barely had the energy to move an inch, I was happier than I'd ever been in my entire life. I was finally free. I actually made it out of there alive. That itself almost felt like a dream. It took a while, but when I got back to my apartment, I found my mom was somehow inside, along with my landlord. As soon as she saw me, she screamed and ran over, practically tackling me in a bear hug. As it turned out, I'd been gone for almost 2 weeks, which is actually almost double the time I thought I was gone. That didn't make any sense either. If I had gone 2 whole weeks without food or water, I should have easily died. But, well, clearly I didn't. I didn't know what to think. Given my complete exhaustion, I didn't have the will or intelligence to not give the truth. I told her everything. And she listened, thankfully, growing more and more quiet as I went on, however. By the end, she just nodded and left the room. An hour or two later, a detective walked in. Apparently, my mom had reported me officially missing, which was a little inconvenient, but I did understand why she did that. He started asking me questions, and it became apparent my mom had told him what I told her. By this time, I'd had enough rest to realize the truth was too crazy to believe, so I just fed him a load of bull he would digest. I went out into the forest behind the mall and got lost, I told him. He scribbled it down in his little pad. I don't know. That went on for a while, and then he left. And then I never heard anything more about it. It took weeks of processing this to finally get the courage to write this up. But I didn't write this for my own personal amusement, or even just to get this off my chest, or to see if anyone else has had a similar experience. I came here with a very clear intention. In all of my reading around online, I have never heard of anyone having a similar experience to me. Meeting some guy who was able to rescue me from that nightmare. I felt I should post my story here, just in case, in the future. If anyone who reads this story shouldn't fall prey to the horrible nightmare I found myself in with the back rooms, you should know that there is indeed hope. There is someone in there. There is someone who can save you. Don't lose hope. Do not give up. If you just keep walking, if you just keep praying, you will find him. Or, perhaps, maybe, he'll find you. Don't give up. But if you can, simply avoid exploring the back rooms at all costs. Well, thank you for listening to tonight's episode of Clancy Pasta. I really hope you enjoyed. Let me know your thoughts in the comments below. Subscribe or follow if you haven't already. Give the video a like. And if you're listening on any podcasting platform, you can always go to youtube.com/ClancyPasta to get new episodes first. And huge thanks to all of my patrons and YouTube supporters. And shout out to Sly Angle, who let me know that in the last video, when I read out the $5 and up patron thanks and updated the end scroll credits, that I actually missed a few of my supporters. I was really confused by this. I guess I must have accidentally clicked something in the settings when I was compiling the list that left a few people out. But regardless, I went back through, and so I'll just quickly read them off. Huge thanks to Sly Angle, Guile, I probably mispronounced that, I'm sorry, Guile, and Jared B, and DC Devin Liv. I've also updated some credits in the Ghoul section, which is the $2 and up. So seriously, thank you all so much for your support. Apologies about screwing up the end scroll credits, but hey, you know, I got them updated. If there's any topic you'd like to see covered, like this was about the back rooms, if you have any other general ideas for story topics or genres or anything you'd like me to cover, feel free to put it in the comments down below. Okay, I really, really hope you enjoyed, and I will talk to you all very soon. Have a great night, everyone. Cheers.